latter times, carried the crossed rifles of infantry, a major's leaf, and the legend, Marshal Hurt. A moment or so later, Major Hurt looked up.
Fertig, he said, what can I do for you?
I was sent for, Fertig replied.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten, Hurt said.
They didn't particularly like each other. Hurt was a professional soldier, Wendell Fertig, a reservist. A year before, Hurt had been an underpaid captain and Fertig a successful and wealthy civil engineer. Hurt stood up from his desk and went deeper into the building. A minute later, he returned.
The general will see you now, he said, and nodded toward the rear of the building.
Fertig nodded, walked to an open door, then stood there and waited to be noticed by Major General Edward P. King, Jr., the commanding general of Luzon Force. King, a stocky, 58-year-old artilleryman from Atlanta who wore a neatly cropped full mustache, was at that moment standing before a sheet of plywood on which a large-scale map of the Bataan Peninsula had been mounted. Fertig both liked and admired General King. He had known him socially before the war. Indeed, General King had played an important role in the direct commissioning of Fertig as a captain, Corps of Engineers, U.S. Army Reserve. And right now, he felt very sorry for him. Fertig didn't pretend to know much about the Army, but he knew enough to understand that the worst thing that could happen to a career officer was to suffer defeat. The map of Bataan General King was studying was clear proof that not only was he suffering defeat, but the defeat was very shortly going to be total and absolute. It didn't matter that King was going to be defeated by a well-equipped, battle-hardened Japanese force that outnumbered King's poorly equipped, starving, fill-American force 4 or 5 to 1. He was about to lose, and that was all that mattered. A minute or so later, General King glanced at the door, noticed Fertig, and waved him inside.
"Wendell," he said.
"General?"
"Could you see the map where you were standing?"
Fertig nodded.
"I'm afraid it won't be long," King said. "You know how we are defining effectives these days, Wendell?"
Fertig shook his head no.
"An effective soldier is one who can carry his weapon 100 yards without resting and be capable of firing it after he has gone the 100 yards. 15% of our force is effective as of yesterday. The percentage is expected to decline."
Fertig nodded.
"I had several things on my mind when I sent for you," General King said. "For one thing, I wanted to hear from you personally that we are prepared to destroy our ordnance and other stocks."
"Everything is prepared for detonation, General. Redundantly, in terms of both hardware and personnel. In other words, each blow site has been doubly wired, and there are 2 locations from which the sites can be blown."
King nodded.
"Thank you. Good job.
A young lieutenant came up with a means to destroy artillery that somehow didn't occur to the authors of the field manuals. You simply shove powder bags down the tube ahead of the charge, or the round, and then fire it."
"I don't suppose the authors gave a lot of thought to destroying our own cannons," Fertig said. "I was going to suggest shoving sandbags down the barrel from the muzzle end. I don't know how it would work with a cannon, but I do know, from painful experience, what happens to the barrel of a Diana-grade Browning when you try to get an 1.25 ounce of No. 6 shot past a lump of mud."
King smiled. It was a memory of better times, of a cock pheasant rising from the frozen stubble of a cornfield.
"Secondly, Wendell, I was wondering what to do with you."
"Sir?"
"You've blown up, or arranged to blow up, everything here that has to be blown," King said. "It occurred to me that General Sharp might find some use for your skills."
Brigadier General William F. Sharp commanded, on the island of Mindanao, what was now known as the Mindanao Force of the U.S. Army in the Philippines. From everything Fertig had heard, Sharp's forces had not been subjected to the same degree of attack as the Luzon Force, and so were in much better shape. In the absence of reinforcements, Sharp's forces were as inevitably doomed as King's, but that defeat was some time off, perhaps as much as 2 months, and in 2 months, a good deal could happen.
"Yes, sir."